God, Father, we are very thankful that you are God. Very thankful that you have made us your own. Someone asked the question, Lord, once, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Having been made just a little lower than angels, you cared so much about us that you gave us your only son. And then, Lord, you made a special arrangement for us. You said that whoever calls upon the name of Jesus that would be saved. And God, we love calling that name. Something about that name. There's power in that name. There's love and hope and peace and joy. In fact, Lord, there is no name like that name. So we call upon the name of Jesus. We open our prayers with that name and we close our prayers with that name. We get up and go to bed with that name. In fact, Lord, Paul gave us another provision that simply says, in him we live, move, and have our being. In the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, now. This few moments we spend together, open our eyes and our ears. God, let us hear from you because of that name. Hear us as we praise you and adore you. But Lord, all of that would be for nothing if we don't hear from you. So God, speak to us. Meet us, Lord, now in the place of our greatest concerns, our most troubled conditions, and draw us in. And God, let us be like Mary as we sit at your feet and hear what you are saying to the church. Hear us calling out to you. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. The redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God some praise by putting our hands together. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah goes right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I've already read to you from Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through the closing verse and 36. And for the few moments that we are going to share, I just want to talk about give him the glory. Just to remind us that it's really that simple. You just give him the glory. Paul has written this letter. Ushers, rest. God bless you. You all have done admirably. Just don't let nobody rush up here and get me. Paul has written this letter, and the church at Rome was an interesting church because of its not only condition, but its location. It had a lot of controversy attached to it because it was the people at Rome. It was the church that was built out of conflict. There were some sympathizers in the church, and there were some spies in the church. Some that were sacred and some that were not so sacred. There were those who were trusting God, and there were those who yet still tempted God. It was made up of a lot of interesting people. Matter of fact, look at your neighbor and say, you could have been in the church at Rome. Some of us are interesting people. And one of the things that catches my attention about the church is that it is filled with interesting people. We often say as pastors and leaders that if it were not for people, we wouldn't have a church. We would always have God. We would always have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But to be honest, we need you. And we need you just like you are until you can get better. I would encourage you, beloved of God, to not become a part of the church and not let the church become a part of you. As you're growing, you'll grow because growing is essential to church survival. The church doesn't grow, it becomes vulnerable and victimized, even from within. So Paul writes the letter, and of the many conversations that he has with the church at Rome, he comes to an interesting shift when you get to what we now describe as chapter 11. Because if you will remember, and I won't trouble you too much longer, but you will remember chapter 10 was really an interesting chapter because he pushes relationship and he pushes righteousness and he pushes for a response because he says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved, but you gotta respond to that. And he talks about how beautiful the feet of them that bring, and you know, he kind of sort of almost maybe wants to get to the closing argument by saying, I tell you what, man, just give him the glory. He says to them that are in the church that it is the righteous responsibility of a redeemed people to rejoice in the Lord. That was good right there, Mitchell. Righteous responsibility of a redeemed people to rejoice in the Lord. Righteous responsibility of a redeemed people to rejoice in the It is the righteous responsibility of a redeemed people. Now, seven of y'all got it. It is our responsibility in light of what God has already done that we should respond by saying, bless his holy name. Bless him in our pain, in our poverty, in our prosperity, in our possibilities. Bless God. That's why the psalm writer was correct and says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, watch your mouth. Because in reality, Deacon Davis, what comes out of us is in us. And what is not in us cannot come out of us. That's why I watch y'all when you sit up here with your arms folded, looking dignified but not praising. I watch you when you can't wave to God, but you can wave for Beyonce and Jazzy J and all of them. You got to be careful that what's in you don't give you away. It is our responsibility to magnify the Lord with me and let us. You know, us is a good thing. I like using. I like using when we come to church. I like using when we go out to dinner. I like using at the movie. Us. I don't like that me, myself, and I. That's not a good crew there. That's a selfish crew.
Let us exalt. You know, exalt is a good word. We don't use it in regular English terminologies. You don't hear a lot of folk talk about exalt, exalt, exalt. But that's biblical language. Boy, when you talk that God talk, you're talking there, ain't you? Amen. You ought to be saying something when you talk that God talk. And you ought to encourage one another and give exhortations to one another when you talk. The Bible said that's how we ought to talk to each other in psalms and hymns and spirit. You ought to exalt him with me. Don't let nobody outpraise you, nudge your neighbor, tell you ain't going to outbless me today. Amen. I got my praise suit on today. I got my extra shoes in my bag. I'm going to get out my pumps and put on my slippers and I'm going to dance today. Sometimes you got to get out your bed and say, when I get to church today, I'm going to cut a rug today. You don't know why, but I got something reserved. You know, you got to have a reserve praise. Amen. You got to have that praise that even when the choir mess up, you can still praise him. You got to have a reserve praise that even when somebody get on your nerve or you got to run in your hosiery or your hat didn't turn out like you wanted to and something done happened, you got to go to your reserve praise. You got to remind yourself that I told myself when I got down to that church house, I was going to slip off these Donna Karens and put on my slides. I said I was going to dance, and dance I shall. I said I was going to lift up my voice and magnify him. And I'm going to do it because I promised him that I. He said, give him the glory. You can't let your glory get stymied in your grief. Sad things happen to all of us. And sometimes, you know, you just ain't feeling like you was feeling. But you got to go to your reserve praise. So he said, listen, we got a good God. So he tells the church at Rome, he said, I want y'all to get it right. You remember he talks to them about persecution. I'll be going along here shortly. He talks to them, Dr. Corbett, about persecution. He says, you know, things going to happen to you because you're a Christian. I know everybody will be able to say amen to that one. Jesus said that. Jesus says, Deacon Walker, that there's something going to happen to you just because you're hanging out with me. Some of y'all ought to be able to say amen to that. Some of y'all would have never got in trouble if you hadn't hung out with certain people. This ain't no time to be moving around in the church now. But I mean, the reality is, Jesus said, because of your affiliation with an anointed servant like me, accusations going to come. They're going to say you've been in league with the devil. They're going to say you're a wine bibber. They're going to say that you are an antichrist. They're going to say that you can't be the Son of God doing miracles on the Sabbath. He says you're going to be persecuted. He reminds them also that it's going to be problematic to be a Christian. Some of us have learned that as well. Some of us have learned that just because we're Christians don't mean we ain't got no problems. Some of us are willing to testify that if I hadn't got so involved in the church, I wouldn't have so many problems. I'll let y'all think about that. But Paul says it's important to recognize that you still got to give him the glory. I will tell you that when you learn to glorify God in your difficulties, your praise is genuine. Let me help you. I'll be done shortly. Anybody can praise God when you win. I mean, that's easy. I was watching the football game yesterday. I've given up on Dallas. I don't watch any more Dallas football. Last Sunday was enough for me. I made up my mind. When you get beat by the Saints, it's over, you know. So I said, Florida State got me now. Yes, sir. I was war chanting. And in the first quarter, Dr. Corbett, we had already put up 28 points. I said to myself, now that's the way we ought to do it. I was downstairs in the room by myself. Man, every time we scored, I was running up and down. And I sit back down and I did that about four or five times. Then I realized, you know, you must look mighty silly to somebody who looked in the window just now, because they wouldn't know what that was all about. Y'all got set up for it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Some of y'all are more concerned about how folk gonna see you. But they don't know what your praise is all about. You know why you running. You know why you jumping up and down. You know you got to give him the glory. Not everybody going to appreciate you doing that. I imagine if somebody from Syracuse would have saw me doing that, they'd have got mad. Thought we rubbing it in, but, you know, we got to give him the glory. Now, I sat there and I said, boy, we own to something. And I thought to myself, but it's only going to last to the fourth quarter. We got to play next week. Can't let Idaho slip up on us. You know, we got to drop the hammer, Deacon Davis. And I said to myself, God is so much greater than Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston and Latrell Joyner. I said to myself, if I can yell and scream for these boys right here, how much greater should I praise my God? Even when I got problems and persecution, how much greater should I praise my God? If I can war chant for Florida State, can I fight on for God? He's worthy of my best praise. I told myself, I said, don't you get to church tomorrow and not shout for God, and don't forget to run for God, and don't forget to jump up and down and say, how great thou art! God done put up more than 59. So Paul says, well, let's make sure that we recognize. Young folks say that, Jasmine. Don't y'all? Y'all say you better recognize. So I want to say in my next few minutes, I'm about done. I want to say that you better recognize. Grandma told you, had not been for the Lord. That's how she said it. She didn't have good education. She said, if it weren't for the Lord. Lord, child, I Claire. I don't know what Claire is. I don't even know who Claire is. But she always ended up in a conversation with old folk. Lord, I Claire. Who is that? I got a aunt named Claire. She said, I Claire. Fogard. And I thought it was Fogards because I thought that's what they were saying. I Claire Fogard. I may not make it to heaven, but I'm close. You better recognize. Listen, it's right here. I'm going along. Verse 33 says, oh, what a wonderful God we have. You know what I like about that? He does two things, Dr. Corbett. Y'all know how preachers, how he does it. He brings them into fellowship based on faith in the Father who is their creator. It's right there. He said, what a wonderful God we have. You know what I like about that, Sister Anderson? He makes God definitely impartial. He doesn't say, what a wonderful God I have, and brag and boast about how God has done things for him. He said, all us got it going on. Nudge your neighbor and say, we got it going on. I feel Montel Jordan coming in. This is how we do it. We all praise him. That's why nobody's going to look at you funny when you praise God. Because all of us have a wonderful God. All of us have been blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. In fact, the Bible says every day he gives us new blessings. And you know how we get when we got new? We walk different when we got new. We talk different when we got new. Because daily he renews. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before it. Heaven and earth adore it. Paul says we're all in this thing together. He speaks to us of community. He speaks to us of collaborative praise. Bible says he inhabits the praise. You know what? God like it when you praise him. I may not be able to get God's attention with my preaching, but I bet you I can catch him with my praise. See, that's why some of y'all ain't got to be jealous or envious, because you may not preach. You may not be in the choir, but all of y'all can get his attention with your praise. If you just lift up your voice and shout with the voice of triumph, God will lend an ear to your praise. He speaks to us about a wonderful God. Then he says this. He said, listen, he says, who can even imagine his riches and wisdom and knowledge? He speaks to us now of God's providence, because God will do it. God says, you know, I know y'all need stuff. Jesus addresses it. I'm almost finished, Elizabeth. Don't look at me like that. Jesus addresses it by saying, your father knows you have need of these things. Some of us, Dr. Corbett, won't praise God because we don't have stuff. We're frustrated and we didn't get the job. You know, we came down last Sunday, Sister Midge, and we laid hands on you and prayed that you would do well in the interview. And we said that that job is yours. Sometimes we say stuff we ought not be saying. You know, we telling folks stuff, folks, we try to act like we all deep in that. You know, I'm telling you right now, I just say, thy will be done. You come out here looking at me, Larry, try, Pastor, you said the job was mine. I said, the job, I know I didn't. I said, a job was yours. I don't know which one, but I'm believing God that you ought to be gainfully employed. But, you know, he said that you got to remember that God will provide. Some of us are frustrated with God because we're going through some pain. Well, I mean, pain is pain. Everybody's got pain. It hurts. And when it hurts, sometimes we can't quite get our praise on. Some of us are very sensitive to pain. And some of us are very tolerant of pain. Some of you are in pain right now. Doesn't always have to be physical pain. Sometimes it's mental pain. Sometimes they're emotional pain. Sometimes it's really some deep-seated pains. But you can praise him. The Bible reminds us that praise will get you through. When they were in conflict, the man of God was told, put the choir out front. Somebody came to him, the logistical department, the warfare department came and said, are you crazy? You can't put the choir out front. You put the choir out front, they're going to kill all the choir. Put the soldiers out front. He said, no, we're going to put the choir out front. And folk in the choir were saying, no, put the soldiers. He right, we agree. Can we vote on this? I can see now the choir, Sister Anderson and Sister Adrian. I can see Sister Adrian. No, let me use Jennifer, because Jennifer can attitude like nobody can attitude. Jim said, Pastor, I love you, but I'm not getting out front. I'm telling you that right now. I wouldn't get out front for Carrington. You know, can y'all see Jennifer giving me the attitude? I'm not doing it. I didn't join Brookville for that. Said, Jennifer, get out front. No, I'm not doing it. I swear on my children, I'm not doing it. But he said, you let pray. He said, because when praise goes before us, God will fight for us. That's why he said, hold your peace. And sometimes our pain makes us do stuff. And any of y'all ever had that happen to you? Pain will make you do stuff. But he also talks about you got to praise him in peril. I'm about done, Deacon McKenzie. Peril, what? You're saying, well, things happen. God Almighty, I mean, stuff happens. You can't be no fair weather praiser. Some of y'all, I know y'all, I've been around y'all. I can tell when stuff going on by who come to church. I can tell how you come to church. The peril happens to everybody. Truth of the matter is, for some of us, if it hadn't been for peril, we wouldn't be worth a nickel. It's the fights that made us better. You don't learn nothing really from winning. You learn from losing. You learn how to strategize when you lose. And next time, that won't happen to me. You learn how to be a little more cunning. When you lose, you learn how to observe things. See, when you're so busy winning, you miss some technical and tactical stuff. But when you lose, you say, oh, that's where I made my mistake, right there. That's where I went wrong. And you tell yourself and you tell everybody else, you got me that time. But you won't get me again. Peril. David is one of my boys. Let me use him and I'll go home. David seemed to stay in trouble. David, one of them people, when people saw him coming, they're like, oh, man, what now? I mean, you know, Saul tried to kill him. You got Goliath, folk, the Philistines hate David. And he living in a cave 1 week, and then another week he in the palace. He's an adulterer. He's a hitman, a conspirator. You know, David had a rather full life. How did he ever take care of any king business? I don't know. But he always got problems. And the thing I learned from David, Dr. Corbett, is that in his peril, praise was his prescription. That's why you got to always remember to look to the hills and lift up your voice, and you gotta keep praising. Because you have a wonderful God who's going to take care of you. Ruth and Naomi come to mind when, you know, they had their problems, and they turn around and Ruth looked at Naomi and said, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's something about that God you serve. And she said, wherever you go, you got a companion. Your people's going to be mine. You know, that you got some kind of love for God through somebody when you adopt their whole people. Amen. I mean, she said, we got problems. We done lost husbands, and economically we in a pinch. It ain't no man around. We can't even get hired. Naomi said, I'm just going back home. Ruth said, you ain't leaving me here. I have a condition, but I got an answer. It's God. When you turn from God, there's nothing. When you turn to God, there's everything. That's why they say, I found all that I need. And I found it not in Walmart. Walmart is good, but not that good. Not in money. Some of y'all think that if you could have more money, you would be fixed and everything. No, because money ain't everything. It's not in geographic location, because some of y'all have run from one geographical location to another. Some of y'all left New York and say, well, I go down south, don't nobody know me. Or if I go out west, you know. No. Save your airline frequent flyer miles. The greatest traveling you need is from your kneecap to your ankles. What are you saying, Pastor? Fall down on your knees. And do like Grandma said, have a little talk with Jesus. He'll make everything. You know what I like about God? He don't lie. He don't lie. Some of y'all in trouble right now, and you putting on a good face. You done, you know, you pulled it back a little tighter, and you fix it. That's all right, baby. That's all right, homeboy. I got you. But give him the glory. You got to remember that even in the worst time of your life, God is still good. Yes, he is. That's why Solomon was right when he said, in all your ways acknowledge him. See, some of y'all have been fooled. I'm done. I got one more line here. Yeah, one more. It's a long line, but it's one. Some of y'all have been fooled and thinking, well, you know, I became a Christian. I joined the church. Everything just going to go my way now. Somebody lied to y'all. Being a Christian does not absolve us from catching hell, bumping our head, losing our cars, getting fired, house catching on fire, children acting crazy. All the stuff that happened to them gonna happen to us. The difference is we know how to handle it in Christ Jesus. Instead of jumping off the bridge, we build a bridge. We call on the name. Give him the glory. I thank God for my problems. Paul said it, and I'm done. Paul says, you know, I've come to learn. And he told the church, and they're looking at him kind of cross-eyed. He was at Corinth. He said, you know, I've come to learn something. I better tell y'all this, that in my worst condition, I found my greatest God. They said, hold on now, wait a minute. If you're saying Christianity is going to be filled with problems and issues, he said, yes. Because I had a thorn. Paul got up testifying. You know, when you get up testifying and you somebody, folk want to hear it. Because folk don't like to hear testimony from little fish. Because little fish testimony or little fish testimony. But big fish testimony. That's why we like it when big people get in trouble. We say, oh, wait a minute, hold on. They done caught Eddie Long. Turn the TV up. Don't nobody care about catching Miss Mabel's son. Miss Mabel's son, we knew he was jacked up anyway. But the big fish. And Paul said, let me tell y'all something. I prayed to God. You know, when you know God, like you know God and you pray to God and God don't answer, folks start listening in. You know, some of y'all, I've been praying and God answered. Well, we know you were going to pray. Paul was a master in prayer. Paul said, I went to God three times. They say, what? And God said to me, I'm not going to fix you. That's what he said between the lines. He said, I'm not going to fix you. How many of you know, can I help y'all along through here? I'm about done. It's 26 minutes. That's way too early for y'all to leave. How many of you know that there are just some things that's going to be in your life till you ain't got no life? But there ain't no reason for you to protest on God. In fact, I feel good right here. In fact, some of the stuff that God gonna leave you stuck with is to give him a greater praise from you. Paul said, God said he wasn't gonna fix me. He said, but I'm gonna give you something that's gonna hold you together till I come. He said, my grace will be sufficient. Some of us have not learned the sufficiency of grace because we're so busy whining and complaining about the situation. I mean, listen, baby, you know, I believe we need to go back to the ministry of laying hands on folk. Slap them. And say, honey, you ain't got nothing to complain about. Because if you knew my story, other than trying to find my glory, you would realize that greater is he that is in me. I got some stuff I've been toting around in my little ditty bag for 30 years, but I will bless the Lord. Every time I think about the hell I'm going through, I will bless the Lord. I have lost jobs. I have lost cars. I've been arrested, lied on, scandalized, but every time I think about the goodness of the Lord, my soul doth magnify him. What you see on the outside ain't nothing like what's going on the inside. But greater is he that is in me. God is worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy of all my praise. He said, you got to give him the glory. Y'all rest for one more minute. Give him the glory. Why? Three things have happened. One, you are an example of restoration. Yes, sir. When we look at you, we see the hand of God. Grandma said, I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave. But you're an example of restoration. He has restored you lovingly. Restoration, yes. Pastor, what are you talking about? Look at your life. How many are you honest enough to admit that there were some quit points in your life? Nobody would have blamed you, honey, if you'd have quit then. But look at you. You're standing tall. You're looking good. You smell good. You got a little something on. You, you look like you're all right. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. How in the world can you still sing on a Sunday, honey? The Lord did it. How you still preaching? The Lord did it. You still teaching that Sunday school class? The Lord did it. You still in the choir, ushering, passing out them bulletins, still sweeping up around the church? The Lord did it. I'm an example of restoration because I was lost, blind. I was broke up. You know that old song we used to sing, I was alone and idle, I was a sinner too. That was me they sung about. But that old song that they sing, kind of new now, said, if he have to reach way down, Jesus will pick me up. How many of y'all been picked up by the Lord? I know they told you don't ride with strangers, but swing low, sweet chariot. Stop and let me ride. I know my Redeemer liveth. He restored me. Then he said, not only are you a model of restoration, you got revival in you. He said, your God has given you power. Power. Revive us again. Some of us were tired and exhausted and said we wasn't going to run no more. Said we wasn't going back no more. And God gave us revival. Folk looked around and said, I thought she wasn't coming back. You said, but he gave me revival. I wanted to quit, but he wouldn't let me quit. Revival. He said, why? Because you are recipients of a redemptive order that was placed long years ago. You do know that before the foundations of the world, your revival date was set. That's why Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring that good news. Preaching saved me. Now, I thought it'd be an amen right there. I thought I'd get at least one amen when I'm preaching saved me. Somebody said, amen, Reverend, you hoped us. But y'all didn't. Now I'm going to have to go to another page. Revival. Preaching saved me because God spoke to me. Somebody asked, is there a word? They said, yes. And you know, they said, how beautiful are the feet. Them preachers, boy. God, thank you for them preachers. I like music, God, but I needed that word. I'm a revival because it's some good news, and the people needed some good news. He said, you are indeed a revival. And then he said, here's the last thing. He said, look at your God. It's intended for his glory. He said, so lastly, you are to be repatriated. God gonna bring you home. Repatriated. Yes, because I kind of lost my way there. But God decided to send his only son. We tell the story that down through 42 generations, he came. We tell the story that he came to his own and his own received him not. We tell the story of him being the cornerstone rejected. We tell the story of him being beaten and scorned, and we tell the story, but we got to tell the whole story. Tell the story about Pontius Pilate. We tell the story about Caiaphas. We tell the story, but we got to tell the whole story in order that God would be glorified. Well, Reverend, how does the story end? I'm glad you asked, because I'm dying to tell you. Because the Bible said that he came for us. And Jesus said, listen, don't y'all get frustrated about what's happening down here, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you're going to be also. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got reservations. I'm the restored of God and I got reservations because the Lord says, I'm going to make room for you. He said, and don't worry about how many get there before you, because your name is on the list. The angels in heaven have signed your name. Aren't you glad about it? Look at your name and say, neighbor, that's why I give him the glory. Because the Lord has made a way for me. I'm telling you now that everything gonna be all right. I know sometimes your heart gets heavy, but everything gonna be all right. Songwriter said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm feeling kind of good now, because every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul gets happy and I want to give God the glory. I tell you right now that I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. Somebody don't know it right now, but your help is on the way. Somebody don't understand right now, but darkness ain't gonna last forever. God is a good God. Am I right about it? Won't God see you through? Look at your name and say, neighbor, God made a way for me, and I'm so glad to give God the praise. He's worthy of my best praise. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for making a way for me. Ain't God all right? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout glory. 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 He died for us. Because he died and got up, I'm going to get up. I'm going to make my way back to the church, and I'm going to lift up his name. I'm going to give him the glory. Nobody else in my section may not, Lord, but you can count on me. I will bless the Lord. He said, you've been repatriated. You have been called home, not to die, but to live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, ain't scared no more. I bless him because he lives. And I want to live. Stand on your feet. We're going to leave now. Life is wonderful. When David was in one of his perils, Sister Ava, the Bible said that men came to be with him. And that was an interesting read, because you had to ask yourself, you know, why would men go to be with David when he's in trouble? The interesting part of it is the kind of men that came to live with David. Read the Bible, it said that these were men who were in debt, stressed. They were just frustrated. Stuff was not going so well for them. And I kept asking myself, Wanda, I said, "What? Why would they go to be with David? Already got problems. How would they go to David? I mean, David can't help me. He can't help himself." Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, they wasn't really going to be with David. They were going to be with David, who's with God, who's with David. They went with David because David was with God, and because David was God, they went to be with God that was with David. And I believe that when you go to be with God, no matter what trouble you're in, your help is on the way.
I want to give him the glory.
I said to myself, you know, Leroy, if you can always remember to glorify God, how much better your life is going to be. So I made a promise to myself. I said, you know, I'm going to always try to find the glory clause. I said, I'm going to find glory. No matter what happens, I'm going to give God the glory. And it's working. It's working. I looked up toward heaven and said, you know, Lord, this is a good principle here. Others must hear of this, that they might lighten their load, get their joy back. That's what David said. David said, give me back my joy. You know, he didn't ask for the palace. He didn't ask for the money. He didn't ask for anything lost. He said, if you just give me back my joy, that's giving God the glory. And you know, if I can help you, I'm going to help you. Make yourself this promise as we get ready to go, that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to give God the glory. If I lose everything I got, I haven't lost anything. Some of you are furling up your eyebrows and saying, wait a minute, Reverend, I got a lot of stuff. No, you don't. You brought nothing in, you'll carry nothing out. I've lost nothing. But I heard Paul say this, for me, Christ is gain. If I don't get anything else, Deacon Antrim, out of this life, I'm going to get Jesus. I want to tell you right now, the doors of this church are open, that you can gain Christ. Please, please, please don't fall in love with